Okay, welcome to the first episode of the Healthy Kids Podcast. My name is David Allen. I've been an acupuncturist and herbalist for about the last 18 years, specializing in pediatrics. So what I thought we would do for this first episode is to talk about the way that I think and what it is that I do in the clinic when I'm working with kids. Because when most of you think of acupuncture, you tend to think of, oh, my knee hurts, I'm going to go get treated, mostly orthopedics, pain, right? But acupuncture and herbs for both children and adults goes much, much, much deeper than this into what we call internal medicine, really talking about the management of acute and chronic disease, right? So internal medicine is really about digestive disorders and coughs and all of these different things that you can get that exist outside of just your elbow hurting, right? So let me outline a few things for you here. The kind of key differences in how I think from, sort of a typical doctor and what it is that I do in my clinic, just to give context to everything else that we're going to be doing in the future in future episodes, we'll kind of lay the groundwork here for so that we kind of understand each other a bit. So the first kind of point that I would look at is really this notion of that Chinese medicine looks at children from what we would call a holistic perspective, right? So rather than just looking at the disease the child has, we look at everything about the child and ultimately how that informs the disease that they have. So the kid comes in with a cough. First of all, I'm going to be interested in the cough itself, and I'm going to be interested in all of the factors in a child's life that may or may not impinge on this cough. So we see children as a whole interconnected system. It's not just the cough, but it's everything around that that could be affecting it. So for example, things like emotions. I mean, it just seems like a simple cough, but the degree to which, say, stress hormones are reducing the immune system's effectiveness, leading to chronic inflammation, the cough won't go away. The degree to which this is involved, we have to see. Things like diet, similar problem. Maybe they're eating things that are causing mucus to build up in the lungs. Rich foods, too much dairy, sugar, maybe poor quality wheat, different things that the body is having to deal with that actually could cause mucus buildup in the lung tissue. Things that the child may be having an intolerance or an allergy to, certain proteins, and those things are causing a more systemic type inflammation in the body, leading to inflammation in the lungs, driving this cough, driving the particular kind of cough that they have. Maybe a child went from a damp environment to a dry environment. Maybe they live in a damp environment with the presence of mold or something like this. All of these different factors are part, they're sort of grist for my mill. They're things that I'm thinking about because children are connected to their environment. All of their systems are connected to each other. So your nervous system is related to your immune system, which is related to your digestive system. Nothing is taken apart in that sense. Everything matters. So we look at everything when we're thinking about this. Whereas Western medicine is typically thinking more just in terms of the specific disease, and ultimately they're thinking about how to manage symptoms. Which, of course, in Chinese medicine, we are also trying to manage the symptoms. So we go back to this question of cough. The child has a cough. We need to stop the cough, right? So that's the first order of business. However, the thing about it is a cough is not just a cough. There are many different kinds of cough. Conservatively thinking about cough, I mean, 6, 7, 8 different types. Just a simple one, like, is it a dry cough or a wet cough? Is it acute or is it chronic? How long has this been going on for? When they have the cough, is it worse at night? Is it worse in the morning, worse during the day? These things all tell me different information that maybe require radically different treatments, different kinds of herbs. If a kid has a dry cough versus a wet cough, I don't want to give a child with a dry cough the herbs that I would give to a child with a wet cough. Why not? Because I have some assumption that the herbs that I give for a wet cough probably have some kind of enzymatic action to break down that mucus inside the lungs, inside the airways, Maybe I don't want that same enzymatic action working on a kid with a dry cough. Maybe that same enzymatic action would actually irritate their tissue and, in theory, make the cough worse. This is possible. So what we want to do is, in a sense, what we call, quote unquote, treating the root of the problem. We want to get to the bottom of the issue and not just cover the symptoms or mask the symptoms. Now, that's not to say, of course, Western medicine has life-saving medications that are highly effective, especially for acute symptoms, and we thank our lucky stars every day that this exists. But in a lot of cases, these things may not be necessary, or maybe we could move beyond them. Maybe it would be possible to figure out, well, okay, if there's conservatively seven different kinds of cough, it would be typical that the doctor would probably have the same treatment for most of those. You know, some kind of steroid, an inhalable muscle relaxant or something like that. But Chinese medicine at least could be thinking beyond that a bit to think about what is the real source of the problem here. And if we treat both the symptom and the source of the problem, then that might be the end of it. So this notion of treating the root versus just managing the symptoms. Now, of course, managing the symptoms is an incredibly important thing to do. But sometimes we want to get underneath it and think about, hey, what's really underlying this? And actually, more than that, we want to treat what's underneath. We want to get rid of that cough completely. But the reality is at the end of the day, we want to prevent that cough. So kid comes in, we give a little treatment, which we'll talk about. We do a little bit of herbs. Then we get rid of that cough goes away. But then the question becomes, okay, your kid got the cough in the first place. So what is it we can do to prevent that from coming back? Maybe the parent has some disorder, some disease, some symptom that they're worried about in the future. Maybe the kid has had it or has never had it, but our emphasis is really on prevention, right? So that's where dietary advice starts to come into play. We gave the example of eating food that is too calorically rich may end up leading to, in this case, lung problems. But it could lead to a host of other problems. So we want to look at the diet and we want to say, okay, what's the best practice here to prevent X, Y, and Z symptom from coming in the future, from happening again, from happening at all? We look at sleep stuff. What does good sleep hygiene look like at different ages? What constitutes good sleep or bad sleep? A lot of things that doctors take for granted, that parents take for granted as being quote unquote normal, actually are not in fact normal. Things like, well, like the sleep example, what's a good example of this? Maybe a child runs hot at night and tends to kick off the blankets. Maybe they also tend to talk in their sleep. Maybe they tend to have strong dreams, right? So then, you know, you're just, maybe your kid has that and you're just thinking to yourself, well, that's all pretty reasonable. It all seems like pretty normal. But normal is not necessarily healthy. Just because it happens a lot and it happens to a lot of people doesn't necessarily make that quote-unquote normal. So if I hear that a child has those particular sleep issues, maybe they're waking up more frequently, or then I want to treat that. Maybe that is the complaint that the parent brings the child in to treat. Maybe it's not. Maybe it's a secondary complaint. Maybe a child is coming in with ADHD-like symptoms. Maybe they have the diagnosis, maybe they don't. We talk about that. We get to the bottom of what's going on there. Furthermore to this, how is sleep? Oh, trouble staying asleep? Well, actually, what that trouble staying asleep indicates to me is that the nervous system isn't calming down. At night, when you go to sleep, your body should actually cool off. Instead, some kids are heating up. So they're doing calisthenics in bed, very active sleepers. Right? To some degree, of course, moving in your sleep is normal, but how active are they in their sleep? And then you add on top of these other things that I mentioned, okay, now this might be a problem. It might be part of where we're seeing hyperactivity come out during the day. In a sense, we're seeing that come out at night. So knowing that that's going on at night allows me to actually add a few acupuncture points that we might use. It might actually allow me to add some herbs. And so then in this case, maybe it's purely a functional thing. Maybe they're getting better sleep. They're sleeping deeper. Well, good sleep tends to lend itself to good moods, so they're less irritable during the day. They're less frustrated during the day. They're having less large, big emotions coming out, you know, and they're recovering faster. Why? Because they're simply sleeping deeper. They're getting better sleep. So this is the kind of thing that when we're talking about treating the root, when we're talking about prevention, these are the kinds of things I'm thinking about. Like for a good example of this is ear infections. For example, ear infections is an infection in the middle ear for which doctors typically give back antibiotics, right? And so the thing is that the vast majority of ear infections are in fact viral. Many of them can't be bacterial, but if they're viral, then the antibiotics don't seem warranted in that situation, and yet they seem to work, quote unquote, in the short term by reducing symptoms. Well, it's also that the antibiotics have a fairly strong anti-inflammatory effect on the body. And so it does draw down that swelling that's happening in the ear, all that inflammation that's leading to all of that pain. It does draw that down, and then the child has a chance to sort of get better, and then they're fine. Now, the thing about it is when we're talking about prevention, when we're talking about reoccurrence of disease, when we're talking about getting to the root, the thing that the antibiotics aren't dealing with is the fluid. There is fluid buildup in the middle ear behind the tympanic membrane there, and the antibiotics do nothing to drain that fluid out. Now, the problem with that fluid is that viruses and bacteria can kind of hide out in there, and they start to replicate in there, leading to more mucus and fluid buildup, and that's what's putting pressure on the eardrum, the tympanic membrane there. And so what, in extreme cases, what the doctors ultimately do is they put tubes in the ears. Well, the tubes in the ear allow that fluid to move out. In Chinese medicine, what we would do is stimulate that area directly to increase blood flow to that area to help drain that fluid out, relaxing some of the muscles in the neck to open the eustachian tube, which will allow the middle ear to drain down back into the back of the throat, into the nasopharynx there. We also, in the herbs that we use for ear infections, they actually has the one particular formula that we commonly use for ear infections actually has herbs in it that almost act like a diuretic. They actually work to drain the fluid out of the ear, out of the middle ear there. So in that way, we're not only getting rid of the symptoms in the short term, but then what I want to do is I want to keep the child on those herbs, keep them doing treatments until we feel confident that we get rid of that fluid. Now, how do we know we've gotten rid of that fluid? The best way to know is when they get sick again, do they get that ear infection again? Because of course, as you parents know, with kids with ear infections, that's how it works. You get stuck in that cycle where they're getting sick pretty frequently, and every time they get sick, they're getting an ear infection. So I want to see that they Number one, I want to see that they don't get sick for a really long time. That would be nice. But then next time when they inevitably do get sick, no ear infection comes. That, to me, tells me that fluid is probably drained out of there, and now there's no problem. Then we move to the prevention aspect for the ear infections. Well, why did that fluid build up there in the first place? Most often in Chinese medicine, we would point to diet. And there's a very long explanation about how diet ultimately leads to fluid buildup. I mentioned it with the mucus buildup in the lungs. Now here, this is happening in the middle ear, and there's an explanation for that. But essentially, we would probably want to look at diet. So of course, the typical family that's coming in to see me, they're typically doing a great diet, right? So there's not a lot for me to, you know, hey, look at all this sugar you're eating. That's the problem. You know, typically it's pretty good. So then I have to look at and say, okay, if the diet is reasonable, maybe the digestion is weak. So even for the relatively medium to small amount of dairy that they're eating, even for the relatively medium to small amount of wheat and gluten and sugar and all the things that they're eating, maybe even that relatively small amount compared to standard American diet, maybe even that small, relatively small amount is still problematic because their digestion is not working at full strength. What does this mean? Is that just probiotics? there are many more aspects to the digestion than just probiotics. Stomach acid production, the strength of the stomach, the strength of chewing, things like pancreatic enzyme production and release. These are all factors that play into what constitutes the digestive system in children and adults. And we want to strengthen that so that whatever diet they are eating, typically healthy, that we see that they aren't building up that fluid again in their ears where the virus can hide out and replicate and then cause a lot of pressure on the eardrum and causing pain. So here, we're getting to the root of the problem. We're treating the primary symptom of the problem, but we're also then having a conversation about how to prevent that in the future through treatment and through lifestyle adjustment. Okay, so this is another good example of how Chinese medicine thinks. Another aspect to this is we use different diagnostics. So we're able to gather all of this information about which of the seven kinds of coughs you have, what kind of ear infection do you have, what type of ADHD do you have, what where on the spectrum of autism are you? We can gather all of the information that we need through questioning, talking to the parent, talking to the child, getting very granular about, well, how is sleep? Trouble falling asleep? Trouble staying asleep? And there are many, many, many symptoms that we look at to differentiate what's going on with the immune system, what's going on with the nervous system, what's going on with the digestive system. All these different things that we're going to look at through the questioning gives us a full spectrum look at a child and where they're at with their health. Where should they be? How do we get them to where we want them to be? What are the symptoms and signs that we look at that tell us that a child is improving? The color of the skin. Overweight, underweight, height. There are many, 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 many different things. Did your child teethe late? You know, typical around 6 months. Did your child start teething as late as 12 months? That's a piece of information that pushes me down an entire thought process about development. So we want to make sure that development is on track now. So there's many, many little different things that I look at. Even the size of the eyebrows. In Chinese medicine, the size of the eyebrows gives me a clear sense of the strength of the nervous system. So kids with big, bushy eyebrows, and you know, typically one of the parents has this, kids with bigger, bushier eyebrows, long eyelashes, it tells me that there's a strength of constitution there. It tells me that there's a strength of mind there. It tells me that there's a certain independent streak in terms of their thought processes, that they're going to tend to be fairly independent in terms of the way they think, in terms of having goals and wanting to move towards those. So I just see a kid walks in and they have big bushy eyebrows. I'm starting to think about that. It's not always true for every kid. It just puts me in the mood for thinking that that might be the case. So it's just a piece of information I'm thinking about. Huh? Maybe a child has no eyebrows. Well, maybe it pushes me in the opposite direction. Start to ask questions, and we go from there. So there are many, many different things that we look at. We take the pulse, we look at the tongue, we look at their what we call physiognomy, their body build, right? We look at all these different things, and we ask many, many, many questions to get a sense of what's going on, to get to the root of the problem, but also to give us a sense of how we're going to measure progress. Because a kid's going to come in, I'm going to see them, I'm going to diagnose what I think is going on with their particular type of asthma, whatever's going on. Then we have to outline, okay, here's what I think is going on. Chronic inflammation, this and that. Here are the symptoms that indicate to me that this is going on. This is what I'm telling the parent. And therefore, as these symptoms start to improve, that's telling us that things are getting better, right? So it's not just that the cough is getting better. It's maybe there's other symptoms around that. Maybe they're getting sick less frequently. Maybe their allergies decrease as well. So things that are around immune function, around respiratory function, that tell me, they're improving. Maybe I'm treating their digestion as well to strengthen their immune system. So I treat the digestion underneath. The stronger their digestion is, the better their absorption of nutrients is, the stronger their immune system gets. But how do I know that their digestive system's getting better? I want to see that their appetite improves, that they eat more food, that they have a broader palate. They're willing to try new things. They're not getting bloating after they eat, that bowel movements are working correctly, right? What we consider normal for bowel movements, there's a very wide range of things that are possible here that may or may not be normal, that may or may not be healthy, right? So we are looking at all of these things in order to get a sense of what's going on. Okay, so what happens when the kids come in? You know, what's the pragmatic point here? Parents come in, they bring their kids into my clinic. We have a chat. I have lots of toys. Kids are chilling. They're playing. They got a little kitchen in here, all the little things. And then eventually I'm going to want to do treatment on the kid. So then the first question is always like, oh, acupuncture on kids. Well, how does this work? So that's what's nice here is that in kids, I don't need to pull out needles in order to stimulate the acupuncture points that I want to get access to. I actually have something called the tickle machine. The kids love the tickle machine, and it's totally painless, totally safe. And it's basically a TENS unit. I'm stimulating the points with that. The kids love it. They just play with toys while I work. So I'm doing some acupuncture points with the tickle machine. It takes me about 10 minutes. And then I'll mix up some herbs that I have here in the clinic. And I send the parents home with the herbs and with some instructions, you know, how to get the kids to take them. Fortunately, the herbs are very tasty and it's typically no problem for kids to take them. Then what I'll do is have them come back probably in a week and report back. How are things going? Okay. So we get a sense of, okay, so this has improved, this has not, so then I'm getting a clear sense of what's going on. Okay, usually let's continue on, keep going. And within a week or two with most things, I want to start to see some changes, okay? So number one, we're doing a lot more than just knee pain. Although kids are getting the Osgood Schlatters, you know, with the growing pains, I treat a million kids for that, it's easy. We're doing what's called internal medicine. So we're treating a very, very wide range of disorders. I mean, in a way, you know, it's kind of, I have it on my website. It's like, look, if a kid can get it, we can treat it. We can work on it. I'm not curing Down syndrome, but am I increasing their IQ? Yeah. Are we helping Down syndrome kids with their heart health? Yeah. How do I know I'm helping them with their heart health? Watching their perfusion get better. Watching them pink up, suddenly their blood delivery out to the skin is better. More, the heart is more efficient because Down syndrome kids have a lot of heart issues, you know, floppy valves and these kinds of issues. So suddenly the heart starts working better. Am I curing the heart condition? No. Am I curing the Down syndrome? No. But are we improving that situation? Yes. Intelligence goes up. Independence goes up. It's a wonderful thing. Down syndrome kids are wonderful to treat. They are just the absolute sweethearts. If ever there was a kid who was put in this world to teach us all how to love, it's got to be Down syndrome kids. Just so cute, so sweet. So all of these things, basically, I'm saying as a way to outline how I think, what I'm thinking about, and the kinds of things that I treat. So what we'll do moving forward with future episodes is we'll start to unpack different kinds of constitutions and personalities with kids. We'll start to unpack, maybe we'll talk about autism. I'll give you some case studies, some kids that I've seen in my clinic, interesting stories, and then I'll unpack for you guys in layman's terms what I think and how I diagnose, what I think is going on in these situations. We talked a little bit about cough and inflammation and ear infections and fluid buildup. You know, we could talk about many, many, many different things. So welcome. And let me know if you hear this and you like it. I would love to hear from you guys. If you have kids that need any help or if you know any kids, I'm available at my clinic in Encinitas, but I'm also available for telehealth. So I treat kids all over the nation from all different states. I'm able to mail herbs to everybody. So I would love to hear from you. I would love to talk to them. Okay, guys, take it easy and stay healthy.